Right now, it's time to bring in Arthur Schwartz as we talk a little bit about food. Arthur, of course, is known as the food maven for a very good reason. You'll find him here on Robin Hood Radio Live on Monday mornings and rebroadcast during the weekend on the weekend. Good morning, Arthur.
That's it. I'm rebroadcast.
That's right. I want to tell you something, Arthur.
Yes.
Out of all the podcasts we have, and I think we have about 36 or 37, there's two the fans interact with the most, actually three. You, Margaret Roach, and Leonard Lope. But by far, your fans are the most conversational. They are.
Big surprise.
They are the most conversational. It's absolutely amazing. And when I respond to them, when they have a question, I always get a nice reply back.
Why wouldn't you? Come on.
Well, there's a lot
You're
of times
nice
you don't.
Person.
Yeah, well, but anyways.
That's why I'm here for so many years already. I don't want to go there.
I know.
So a few weeks ago, I was in New Orleans, and I did a radio program there. It's the longest-running food radio show in America, hosted by Tom Fitzmaurice. But when Tom is on vacation, and Tom went on a cruise up the east coast of the U.S. into Canada to see fall foliage, I suppose, while Tom was away, his substitute host is a young friend of mine named Daniel Lelchuk. Daniel is the second seat cellist. I think his actual title is assistant. I'm forgetting the exact title, but in any case, he's the second chair cellist in the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra. So Tom Fitzmaurice has dubbed him the gourmet cellist because Daniel is obsessed with music, one, and food, two. So Daniel, as the substitute host, asked me a question. He wanted me to name some dishes, pasta dishes, without tomato. Because, you know, Southern Italian cooking, which is my expertise, my passion, I guess, is a very tomato-rich cuisine, sometimes disparagingly referred to as red sauce cuisine. And it's not. I always like to point out that Southern Italians like bechamel and mayonnaise as much as anybody. But yes, of course, it is a tomato-based cuisine, and what's wrong with that? But for some reason, when I was on the radio with Daniel, not that I get nervous on the radio, as you can tell I don't, all I could think of was carbonara. And of course, carbonara is a non-tomato and very popular pasta. Pasta, spaghetti alla carbonara. Truth be told, if you go to Rome, which is where it's one of the most important pasta dishes, among several others I'll talk about without tomato, carbonara is sometimes served on ziti, on penne, rigatoni. I mean, the rules don't apply much anymore, but it used to be mainly spaghetti and bucatini, which is a sort of fat spaghetti with a hole down the middle. Anyway, there are so many other pasta dishes without tomato that this question has been haunting me, and my lack of response has been haunting me ever since. So today I'm going to do a rundown. I'm going to be a little bit quick because in the end I came up with, I don't know, at least off the top of my head, a dozen. And then I looked through my books and I found a couple of others that I'd forgotten about that I don't make much these days, so they're not in my daily repertoire. But I must say, this dish, spaghetti with tuna out of a can, should be more in my daily repertoire. I do make a lot of pasta with tuna out of the can, but not this absolutely super basic one. But before I get to the actual super basic tuna, let me say, even more basic, without tomato, is spaghetti or whatever pasta you like, but really it's the spaghetti. Spaghetti with aglio olio, with garlic and oil. Now, you need to have the best, absolute best, I think. olive oil to do this. This is why I would never order this in a restaurant, although I see it on menus all the time now, and people I'm with say, oh, I'm tempted to get the aglio olio. And I said, why would you eat that in a restaurant? I don't even cook the garlic anymore. I just chop up however much garlic I decide to tolerate that day and put it in oil, in my best extra virgin olive oil, boil the spaghetti, and then just toss the spaghetti with the raw oil and the raw garlic, either hot pepper flakes, and I'm going to use hot pepper flakes, I'd put them in with the garlic and the oil. Or if you use black pepper, you just put it on the pasta, and a little salt, and that's all there is. Now, if you want to add tuna, I like to heat the tuna, but you don't have to heat the tuna. You can just take a can of tuna and drain it all but, I would say, for two people, two tablespoons at the most of the can liquid. Now, I hardly ever use the can liquid, but in this case, it does boost the flavor of the finished dish. So that's it. Oil, garlic, a little bit of the oil used from the can, and then break up the tuna, but not too much, in the oil. You can let it sit for a few minutes while the pasta is boiling, and that's it. By the way, a can of tuna should be enough for two people, if not three.
Now,
I say at least 3 ounces, not at least, but 3 ounces of pasta is a fair serving. So,
all right. Now, Arthur, do you use the solid white albacore tuna?
No.
No, what do you, okay.
Good question. No. Okay. It's too dry for me.
Okay.
I use, truth be told, I use Genova brand tuna, which at one time was imported from Europe, if not Italy. But now, if you look at the bottom of the can, you'll find that almost always it's imported from Thailand. I have run across a little Ecuador, but it's certainly not coming from European waters, and Genova is just a brand name. But it is solid, light tuna, not white tuna. I find it has much more flavor. And by the way, if you go to a fancy market, these really expensive tunas are always light tuna, not white tuna. I think white tuna is a North American thing. And I know that there are a lot of people who are totally squeamish about anything but the purest of the pure white tuna, even white tuna in water, packed in water. So if you're one of those people, you won't have any oil from the can, but that's okay. If you have good extra virgin olive oil, it's what makes the dish anyway. Okay?
All right.
And parsley. I like to, if I have some in the house, I use parsley. If I don't have some in the house, I would use a big pinch of dried oregano. I always have that around. Now, there's a whole category of pasta with nuts. This is, of course, not related at all to tomatoes. For instance, I made just the other day, because a young man who I was playing cards with gave me the recipe. He's from Palermo, and he says, oh, this is his favorite pasta dish, and now I see why. You render out some diced pancetta. You don't even need to add any oil to the pan. Just put it over very low heat and let it sit there until you get, you're going to end up with a little, I would say for two people, let's say for 12 ounces of pasta, you want a 4 ounces of pancetta. 12 ounces of pasta, by me, serves four people. Okay, three. So you want 4 ounces of pancetta, diced small. I did my own dicing, but you can actually buy reasonable quality pancetta already diced in the supermarket in a box. There are several brands now, I see, besides Citerio, which is probably the most distributed brand. There are some others. And so you render it out, and meantime, you can put the water up to boil. It's one of those things you can make sauce, the dressing, while the pasta boils. And what we're going to add to the pancetta is pistachios and cream. Well, Sicily, where this boy came from, he's from Palermo, is famous for its pistachios, the most famous of all of those pistachios from Bronte, which is near Mount Etna. Yes, related to the sisters Bronte in that their father adopted the name after, it's a long historical story I can't go into now. So anyway, to 4 ounces of pancetta, when the water's coming to a boil already, you can turn up the heat a little bit, and as soon as the pancetta starts getting a little bit brown, add 4 ounces, which is about 3/4 cup, of chopped pistachio nuts. These days you can buy pistachios shelled. That's why this is such an easy dish. The old days you would have had to shell a lot of nuts to get 3/4 cup. Chop them coarsely. Don't worry if there's some dusty, but also don't worry if there's some bigger pieces. Roughly chop them and add them to the pan and let them cook for about 2 minutes, and they will really get wonderfully flavorful by being cooked a little bit. And by now, the pasta should be almost done, and you add 1/2 cup of heavy cream to your pancetta and pistachios, and several good grindings of pepper. You may need a little salt. You may not need a little salt. It depends on the saltiness of the pancetta. You can always add a little salt at the very, very end. And then you drain the pasta. I would save a tiny bit of pasta cooking water in case, but didn't need it the other day when I made this. And you toss the spaghetti with the pancetta, cream, pistachio mixture, and black pepper, and serve instantly, immediately. So another one, this is a classic.
All right, before you just do your classic.
Oh, by the way, that is good with cheese and without cheese. I ate a little bit of it without cheese, and then I added cheese, and I liked it both ways.
And the pistachios are
grated. The pistachios are what?
Are they hulled? Do you smash them? Do you?
Yes, you missed that, Jill.
Okay.
No, I chopped them coarsely.
Okay, I want to go back to carbonara.
I buy them out of the shell. Nowadays, you can buy shelled pistachios. You don't have to take them out of the shell anymore. Pistachios are one of my father's favorite snacks, and I always remember the red dye on his fingers. They don't even dye them red anymore.
That is true.
I haven't seen a red pistachio in 20 years.
I have a friend who brings me pistachios from Greece, and
they're red?
No, they're not red.
I used to love my red fingers.
Remember that?
Of course. Because
my mother
was your father.
No more. You don't even have to shell them. I bought absolutely delicious Sicilian pistachios at my Italian market, Coluccio and Sons. And this dish was great.
All right, so there's just, before you get on to your next one, this is a carbonara-type pancetta question, which you sort of brought up.
Okay.
There are two, a friend of mine once made carbonara. She cooked the pancetta in olive oil. Do you have a view about that?
Yes. When I make carbonara, I add a tiny bit of olive oil to the pan. I mean, for 4 ounces of pancetta, I would use a tablespoon of olive oil. Not a lot, just to get it started, just to get the rendering started. I feel it. By the way, when I do this with the pistachios, I don't add any oil. I didn't want that flavor in the dish. And if you put the pancetta in, just like American bacon, because it is bacon, but cured in a different way, if you put it into a cold pan over medium heat, and then as soon as it starts to sizzle a tiny bit, turn it down to low. You will. It takes some time, but it takes about the same time that it takes for the pasta water to come to a boil, and then you'll have a couple tablespoons of fat in the pan. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So moving on, nowadays it's acknowledged that Rome has a real cuisine. By the way, we usually say based on lamb and on the interiors of animals. But in the old days, they used to say, oh, Rome doesn't have any cuisine. I mean, it's just a hodgepodge of other regional cuisines. But that's not true. So in Rome, there are some very important pastas. You will see them on almost every menu. Carbonara is one. Amatriciana, which is tomato-based, is another, but we're talking about non-tomato, is actually a dish called spaghetti alla gricia, and sometimes referred to as white amatriciana, because it can have onion, although I don't make mine with onion. I don't make this very often. It's a super, super simple, seems like a super simple recipe, but it's difficult to get it right. And what you have to do is fry out some guanciale, which is jowl, pork jowl, and cured also, like pancetta. Or you can use pancetta, and you cook it out, and you add some water, and let it simmer a couple minutes, and then you add, well, actually pasta cooking water, and then you toss your pasta in this, and it forms a slightly starchy coating of delicious pork flavor on your pasta. So that's one. Another one is called cacio e pepe, which has become very popular in the U.S. now. I see a million different things, blah, blah, cacio e pepe. But cacio e pepe is cheese and pepper, and that's all it is on pasta. This is another one that sounds like super easy. You just toss the pasta with pecorino cheese, by the way, as I said, a lamb-based cuisine, sheep-based cuisine. The main cheese is sheep's milk cheese, pecorino cheese, which is used on all, even on carbonara, should be pecorino. But these days, I'm happy if there's just no cream and prosciutto in it. I would never order that in a restaurant either. Actually, I rarely order pasta, rarely order pasta in a restaurant. So, because, I don't know, never as good as my own. I'm just like that. So anyway, so cacio e pepe, alla gricia, carbonara, those the three of the four big-time pasta dishes in Rome are without tomato. And there are still pre-tomato dishes in southern Italy. What I mean is the tomato was not introduced to Europe until the 1500s. Cortez brought it back from Mexico, where it was domesticated. Originally, tomatoes were from Peru, like a few other things, like potatoes were originally from Peru. But anyway, the Mexicans domesticated tomatoes, but Europeans were afraid to eat them until really the 1700s. And then some Neapolitans said, look, this is going to give me heartburn, so be it. I'm starving. And they tried eating the decorative tomatoes growing in the backyard. They are pretty, aren't they? So there are pre-tomato dishes, and the chief among them, which has become very, very fashionable again in Italy, in Naples and Salerno, and actually sort of all over southern Italy, is made in different, slightly different ways, is a dish called Genovese. It has nothing to do with Genoa, the city up north. Naples and Genoa were always in communication because of the two big ports on the west side of the Italian peninsula. And there's history involved here. But in any case, Genovese is nothing but an onion sauce. Well, it's turned into an onion sauce. Originally, we think, it was probably a Frenchy way, a Genovese way, of making a braised meat. And braised meat would have onion, carrot, celery as a flavoring for the eventual gravy or sauce. And in this case, it's turned upside down. In Naples, where meat was scarce, it might have been made, well, it was usually made with some pieces of some sketchy meat, and this is in the beginning. And then instead of just being a little bit of onion, carrot, celery for flavor, it turned out to be a lot of onion, with a little bit of celery and a little bit of carrot for flavor. So it's a sauce. You cook it forever, and I have a friend who claims she cooks hers for 18 hours. She's not a liar. I just wonder what she does about sleep. She says she wakes up every so often to stir the pot. So there you go. You're really devoted if you do that. But I must say her Genovese is exquisite. I can taste it now. It's a good thing I can bring back some of these memories. In any case, Genovese, you cook with meat, I actually make one, a vegetarian version, if you want to be fashionable, say a vegan version with no meat, just the vegetables. Like I use 3 pounds of onions for, a half a cup of celery and a half a cup of carrot and olive oil, and you cook it for at least a couple of hours in a covered pot to start at least, because all the moisture from the onions releases and it basically cooks in its own vegetable juices. And to that, by the way, if you're not eating meat, I mean, if you eat meat, you can put some meat in it too, but you don't have to brown the meat or anything. But they these days, in health-conscious southern Italy, they often make this with fish. And I have made it with big tuna steaks, delicious. Swordfish, delicious. I haven't tried that many other fish, but those are the two southern Italian fish, so I tried those. Now, here's a category of tomato. So that's a pre-tomato dish. That existed before the tomato became ubiquitous in the south of Italy. What about, well, here's one that I do make sometimes because I'm lazy, is just pasta, whatever pasta you like and have. With a big dollop of ricotta and some chopped almonds. If you want to toast the almonds, great. If you don't want to toast the almonds, okay. If you want to use walnuts, whatever nuts you have, actually. And they could be salted nuts or not salted nuts. I don't play with flavored nuts, but if you have barbecue nuts, I don't know if I want to put that on. But what I would put on is a nice drizzle of extra virgin olive oil. And that's it. That's enough. That's another pasta with no tomato.
I'm waiting for the pasta and herb.
The pasta and, well, my new one, not new one by any means a new thing, but one that I've lately made a few times, is pasta with arugula. And you don't have to do anything except, I chop up the arugula coarsely. I don't, you know, I'm using those little leaves, which in theory should be peppery in a sort of radish way,
right?
But rarely are these days. I think they've bred that out of them. But that's really, with olive oil, that's delicious. Look, a lot of it's about olive oil.
The
if
you best...
have great olive oil, you sort of can't go wrong.
You know, what
another
about...
one that I make rather regularly is spaghetti or whatever, but mainly spaghetti, with fried eggs. Just, you know, for every 3 ounce portion of pasta, fry one egg so that the whites are solid but the yolks are still runny, and just toss that with spaghetti and some grated cheese, and it's divine. By the way, if you want to add a little garlic, you can, you before you put the egg in olive oil, and by the way, use a generous amount of olive oil because it's going to dress your pasta. I would say, you know, about 2 tablespoons per portion. So for every 3 ounces of pasta, 2 tablespoons of oil.
So
and an egg.
It's all delicious. We're gonna. I guess we should talk about your preferred olive oil, in our.
My preferred olive oil you can buy online these days at a very good price. I think I saw it on Amazon for, I don't know, it's a 3 liter can. It's called Partana, P-A-R-T-A-N-N-A, is from the west coast of Sicily, P-A-R-T-A-N-N-A. And I buy it, when I buy it in the liter bottles, I don't, you know, unless you're using an enormous quantity of olive oil, I would not recommend you buying a 3 liter can. But if you do, to save money, or you want to share it with a neighbor, decant it into glass bottles. It holds up, I feel, dark. It should be dark glass bottles. You can use old wine bottles, which I do, because I also get oil from Cecilia. She brings me her own oil, and also she brings me oil from other friends who make their own oil, and she knows that I love that oil. So, but Partana is excellent oil. I only pay $16.50 a liter at my butcher. And in the 1 liter bottles, you can actually, it says on the bottle when the harvest was. And right now we're buying 2017 oil. It's the end of the harvest is now, right as we speak, in Sicily and southern Italy. It's late October. I haven't talked to my oil friends in some weeks, so I think the season might be a little late this year, going into November. But now is the season. So after January sometime, you know, February maybe, we'll start getting the new oil, which I love. It's very strong compared to a year-old oil. And also, Costco gets limited quantities of really, really good Tuscan oil right after the new year. And also, I bought other good oil. I also bought oil I'm not crazy about at Costco. So, but they always have some extra virgin olive oil. And I just bought a Spanish extra virgin olive oil, the texture of which I didn't really like on my tongue. So I've been using it for cooking and not for eating raw. But certainly the taste is good. And if I put it on pasta, it would be fine. I have a lot more here. I have pages of this stuff.
See?
It ends up, there are a lot of pastas without tomato.
So can I?
Which only makes me want to have tomato sauce today.
I understand. I don't know. Do we have any more time, Marshall?
I think we're out of time.
We've got 3 minutes. So this is
really?
He says this every week.
I have
week.
To reset my clocks here.
And you say this every week. But
Well, I guess I haven't done it.
Okay, so here's the herb pasta that I am, you know, again, all over. And You always say it's good. Done with bucatini from, as we mention frequently, Cafe Condotti. It is equal amounts Italian parsley, flat leaf parsley, basil, and mint. Ooh. Chopped coarsely with a bunch of olives, black, and capers.
Oh, sounds delicious.
And
I'll eat that any day.
It is delicious, and you could eat it for breakfast, lunch, dinner.
And no garlic.
If you like garlic, you know, if you do, then you can totally add that. But it's I mean, that's really yummy. And then
I one more thing,
okay.
If I may.
It's your show.
If you don't have cheese, I know that some people, Americans, think every pasta should have cheese on it. But if you're not gonna have, if I have something with a lot of garlic and hot pepper, I don't want cheese usually. And if I have something with tuna, canned tuna, I don't want cheese on that. But what I do like to put on that is fried breadcrumbs. Put a couple tablespoons of olive oil in a little skillet and add some breadcrumbs when they get toasty. Be careful not to burn them. That's an incredible substitute for cheese. I wouldn't put it on something like tomato sauce. It'll just get soggy. But if you're putting it on something like aglio olio with anchovies, which I love, melt some anchovies into your aglio olio. And in that case, of course, you have to put this over the heat. But it's good.
Oh, that sounds really good. All right, now we're getting nodded at.
Yeah, no, we are.
Okay.
Well, we went through half my list.
I think it's good. You threatened that list was going to be long, so very well
I told
done.
You. Yeah, yeah, you know, and my listeners and I are talkative.
That's right. What can you do? All right.
So, all right. Have a great week, everybody.
And you.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can hear Arthur every Monday morning live and rebroadcast during the week as well. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton, Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, JARestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.